right. This morning we're going to look at the parable of the wheat and the tares. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's speaking to the multitude. His disciples are there as well. And he said, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." Look at verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away, and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, "Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field." He answered and said unto them, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked." The wicked one. "The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now the Lord says this phrase repeatedly, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Not only in the Gospels, but in other places. The revelation of Jesus Christ, he said it. And the word means, he that hath ears to hear, let him give his full attention, let him attend to the preaching, give highest esteem to hearing the gospel of Christ. He said in Mark, he said, "With what measure you meet it, it shall be measured unto you." With what measure, with what esteem, with what regard, with what due diligence you give yourself to hear the gospel of Christ, so Christ will give in abundance. And there's a flip side to that. He said here in verse 12, "Whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not," who doesn't have an ear to hear this and a desire to hear this gospel and a longing to hear this gospel, he said, "From him shall be taken away that he hath." I want you to notice two things here. He makes good on this in two places in this chapter. I want you to see this first. Verse 9. He said, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Let him give himself to hear. "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" They came and gave themselves to the Word, to God, to Christ, to hear Him. And what happened? Verse 11 says, "He answered them." Now look again here in this passage, in our text, in verse 36. "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house." Why did the multitude go away? Because they could. That's why. Because they could. He asked, one time the multitude went away and he turned to his disciples and he said, "Will you go away also?" And Simon spoke up for the disciples. He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe you're the Son of God, Christ Jesus, our life. You're our life." You notice here, he went into the house, and they went to the house where the Lord was to hear his, to hear him. They gave themselves to go there and hear him. It doesn't mean you don't study the Word when you're at home or other places, but where he's gathered his saints in his house, go there and hear the Word preached. And look what he did. Look what he did. Verse 37 says, "He answered them." He gave them more, didn't he? He makes good on that promise to us. If we give ourselves to hear this Word, He'll give to us. He made good on it two times right here before us, didn't he? Now, do you regard this gospel to be life or death? It is. Whether you regard it to be or not, it is. It is. It is. If you do, as he told Peter, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Give yourself to hear this gospel. Now, in this parable, the Lord is teaching us, let's hearken to that word, let's give ourselves to hear what he says. And he's teaching us in this parable that in his kingdom, in his church, in this world, there are good seed, good children, wheat, and there are tares, children of the devil, children of the wicked one. And he's teaching us here not to try to separate the tares from the wheat. Don't try to separate them. Everything that he teaches us here in this parable gives us good reason to be content, not to worry, not try to separate the tares from the wheat, but let them grow together. Everything he tells us here. I want to show you four or five things very simply. First of all, Christ Jesus sowed the good seed. Look here. And he tells us there's two kinds of seed. Good seed, wicked seed. Good seed, evil seed. Good children, children of the wicked one. Now it says, verse 37, "He that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man." Now turn over to Genesis. Hold your place here. Turn to Genesis 3:15. Now this is what I want you to get here. I want you to enter into the fullness that he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Christ Jesus is the good seed. He is the Son of Man, the good seed. And he sowed himself in the field. And it's by his doing, his sowing, that these children can be said to be good seed. All right, look here, Genesis 3:15. Note this. This is a familiar passage, but note here, there are only two seeds spoken of here. One is the children of the wicked one, called thy seed. But the only other seed here is the one seed of woman. And that's the Son of Man. That's Christ. Genesis 3:15. "I will put enmity between thee," he's speaking to the serpent, the devil, "between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." it. He's talking about that one seed. That one seed of woman. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. See, this seed is one. It's one seed, the Son of Man. Now look over to Galatians 3:16. Galatians 3:16. The promises that God made to Abraham were only made to one seed. And that seed's Christ. Before he ever made those promises to Abraham, God made this promise to that one seed, and that seed's Christ. Look here, Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. You see, truly, Christ is the one good seed sown in the earth. He that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man, and he is that seed. He is the seed, the Son of Man, the only man who is as righteous as God requires. He is the seed, the Son of Man, the one man who is as holy as God requires. He is the seed, the Son of Man, the only man who is as faithful to the triune God as God requires. He is the seed, the Son of Man, the only man who fulfilled the very spirit of the law of God. Not just the bare precept of the law, though he did do that, but the very spirit of the law. He is the only seed, the only Son of Man who ever loved God and loved his neighbor as himself. The only one. The only one. And because he is the seed, the Son of God, everything he did as the Son of Man, the seed of woman, is eternal and everlasting. He is everlasting righteousness. And it's by the seed. Before we saw that the ground, the hearer, is good ground. He makes the good ground. The children for whom he died, whom he represented, the children of the Father, the children of the King, he makes them good ground. And all the good ground does is receive the seed. When's the last time when you planted your garden, Christine? The ground didn't come up and do something. It just received the seed you put into it. Well, Christ is the seed, the incorruptible Word, and he not only is the seed that he sowed in this earth himself, but he makes the good ground. Makes the good ground receive the seed, and from that he brings forth these good seed, these good children that are his children. And he did this all willingly himself. This is what he said on his way to the cross. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, he is that seed. He is that corn of wheat that willingly fell into the ground and died. He said, except it do that, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He's that seed. He's the life by whom we live, by the new birth, by the Spirit of God. And so the children of the kingdom, the good seed, are so thoroughly one in Christ, the seed, the Son of Man, that we don't have to worry about the tares growing up in this field beside the good children, the good seed. We don't have to worry about it, do we? Because they're that one with Him. All right? Let's look at the second thing. The second reason, and we won't spend quite as much time here, because it's very simple. The field is His. The field is His. Look at verse 38. He said, the field is the world. Now look back up at verse 24. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. It's his field. It's his field. The world belongs to the Son of Man. Christ Jesus purchased this field with His own blood. He bought it. He bought the rights to the field. In another parable, right after this, about the treasure hidden in the field, the man goes and he buys that field. We're going to focus on nothing but this very glorious truth. He bought the field. He bought the field. It's His field. He's the King of His kingdom. He's the head of His church. The work is His work given Him of the Father. And He shall, through His gospel... There's some servants mentioned here that were with Him. We saw last time they're those that He uses to sow the seed. But He's the one that sows the seed as they sow the seed. But He'll do this through that. He'll give life and He'll grow each of His children. And He'll use even the tares for their good. Why? Why has it been given to Him to do that? He said in Isaiah 61:3 that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. He gets all the glory. So we don't have to worry about the tares, the devil, the children of the devil, because the field's His. Here's the third thing. He didn't say He sleeps. Look at verse 24. He says, another parable put He forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. The psalmist said, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. You think He was surprised when the devil snuck in while everybody, it was dark and everybody was asleep and the devil sowed these tares and this wicked seed? You think He was surprised by that? No. Satan entered the garden when Adam was in the garden by the divine permission of God Almighty alone. And ever evil that had ever taken place in this world has happened by the divine permission of God Almighty, the Son of Man, Christ, who owns the field Himself. He said, as evil hath happened in a city, and have I not done it? That doesn't mean He does the evil. It means it doesn't happen without His permission. That is a great, great, glorious assurance for the believer to know nothing, absolutely nothing in His field is out of His control. But He that keeps you will not slumber. Will not slumber. Here's the fourth thing. The evil one and his tares in no way hindered the Son of Man from planting or growing the seed. Look at verse 26. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, he sowed the seed. It sprang up, it grew, and it brought forth fruit. And then appeared the tares also. But the tares didn't stop him from sowing the seed. The wicked one didn't stop him from sowing his seed. The wicked one didn't stop him from giving it the increase and making his children to grow and to bear fruit. They just appeared there with him because the wicked one sowed them. They didn't hinder him whatsoever, did they? All right, here's the next thing. the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ clearly says we're never to attempt to do what only He can do. Look at verse 28. The servants said unto Him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? Christ our Lord has not authorized His servants, His preachers, those that teach His word, and those who are His servants and His children. He hasn't authorized us to attempt to separate the tares from the wheat. He said here, verse 29, but He said no. 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 Be careful. Have not we done many wonderful works? Hath not we cast out devils in Your name? He expressly said, it's not My job and your job to cast out the devil and his seed. That's not a good work. It's not a good work. That's His job. All right, look here. The danger in us attempting to do so is because the wheat and the tares look alike. Verse 29, He says, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. There's a field on the way over here. Me and Melinda's been looking at two or three of them on the way over here. We've been looking at it. I don't know what this is planted in this field. I'll have to get some of y'all that might know to tell me what it is. But one of them is right here, between here and Hopewell, right here on the left, right there. But it when it started coming up, I thought it was corn. But it's not corn. I don't know what it is. It's only about that tall. Any of y'all know what that is? But when you look at that field, there's some that is bearing fruit. You can see it starting to bear some kind of grain. But there's some in there that doesn't. But they look just alike. They look just alike. There's some, most all of it's about this tall. But there's some shot up 2 or 3 feet higher than the rest of it. Now, here's the problem. The child of the devil, who's not really a child of God, who's not really the good seed, can do works which appear the very same as the child of God. He can come hear the word preached. He can read the word of God. He can go through the motions of prayer. He can give everything he's got. He can show kindness to others. He can do everything God commands the believer to do. He can do that. He can do that. It says here, verse 26, the blade was sprung up and it brought forth fruit, and then appeared the tares also. Look at verse 41. It speaks of the Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. What's the offense and what's the iniquity? And those children of the devil who appear to do all the same works as the believer. What's the iniquity? It's the defilement of the heart. They're not born of the incorruptible seed. He didn't sow them. And their fruits, those fruits that they bear, are not by Jesus Christ Himself. Now, that's exactly the whole point, the chief point of Paul's letter to Titus. He's teaching him to teach the people, the brethren, to maintain good works. Look at Titus 1. Let me show you that. What makes this the difference in those works? What makes them not even a good work? Even though they, you know, naturally speaking, it's kindness, just the same as your kindness is. It's benevolence, just the same as your benevolence is. It's It's hearing the Word of God just like yours is. It's praying, going through the mechanics of prayer just like you are. What is it that makes the works to differ? Titus 1:15. Unto the pure. You know what that is? It's those who are born of the seed and who are made completely, totally pure and righteous in Christ the seed. And unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. That's the heart, not born of the incorruptible seed. And look at here. They profess that they know God, but in works, and he tells us what kind of works they are. They're good works. Naturally speaking, they're good works. But in those works, they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate, void of discernment, void of spiritual life. You see that? So, here's the point I want you to get. We'll look at this more next time in another passage. The believer does not shine in this world. The Lord said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see that light." Let me finish. The believer does not shine in this world like the tares of the wicked one shine in this world. The believer says, "He must increase, I must decrease." The believer wants the spotlight to be on Christ, His light. But, look at this word, verse 43. But after the Lord has gathered together and separated everything that offends and gathered His people, then, verse 43, shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Why is that? Because then we're going to be just like Him. Because then we're going to be with Him, right there with the light, made one, perfectly conformed to the light. Then we'll shine like the unbeliever thinks he shines now in this world. Does that make sense to you? We'll look at that more next time. But here's the point. The tare looks far too much like the wheat for us to attempt to separate them in this life. That's right. And here's another thing on this point. Also, the Lord may choose those tares to provide that which is needful for His wheat. He let the devil sow them in His field. He did it for a reason. I'll give you an example. Judas was the planting of the wicked one all along. But the Lord chose him and used him and let him grow right alongside His true disciples. And he served God's purpose the entire time. He said that. He said, Jesus asked them, "Have not I chosen you 12, but one of you is a devil?" There's been a whole lot of tares of the wicked one who were mothers and fathers of wheat that God, that Christ the Son allowed to grow in His field to bring forth His child, to give birth to His child, and to nurture and provide all natural things for that child to grow him, and the same in His church, to provide for His true children in His church. So see, He's using them even though they don't know they're or want to be used of Him. So He says, leave them alone. Let them grow. The apostles never would have imagined Judas was the devil. They never would have. He looked just like the rest of them. Did the works the rest of them did. Didn't he? Alright, here's the last thing. This is why we don't have to do a thing. In the end of the world, the Son of Man shall send His angels, and He shall gather out all things that offend, and then His children shall shine. Look at Read it out, verse 39. The enemy that sold them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Now, who hath ears to hear? Heed this word. Take heed to give due diligence to it and walk in this light. Heed it. He said, I'll give you more in abundance. All right. Amen.